Hello, my friends. Welcome back once again to a brand new episode of Sweeten Up Podcast, season number 2, episode number 75. I hope everyone is doing well. We are now in the month of December, and I know that this time of the year, just before the holidays, can be stressful and difficult for so many people. So make sure to look out for your friends, family, and everyone in between. On the flip side, if you're having a difficult time yourself, be sure to reach out because we are all in this together. Mental health has never been more important. On that note, I am your host, Jeff Spencer. Thank you so much for taking some time to join me today. I greatly appreciate it, whether you have for an entire season or you are today for the first time. Thank you so much for joining us. However, if you are just joining us for the first time, take a look back at our library of 74 episodes anytime you want, anywhere you subscribe to the show. As always, if you like what you hear on the podcast today, please be sure to tell all your friends and subscribe to the show anywhere you get your podcasts so that you never miss a future episode. You can find the podcast on Instagram and Facebook at Sweeten Up Podcast. Be sure to head on over and give us a follow or like. With that being said, my guest on the podcast today is the great and powerful Demetrios Zaharaitis. Demetrios Zaharaitis is an award-winning bartender and pioneer in the craft cocktail movement here in the state of Connecticut. In his free time, Demetrios is an avid competitor, and in addition to winning many local competitions, he has been a multiple regional finalist for Diageo World Class, Bacardi Legacy, and Bombay Sapphire's Most Imaginative Bartender competitions. Demetrios is also founder of The Cocktail Chemist, a canned cocktail beverage taking Connecticut by storm. Demetrios was a previous partner at the award-winning cocktail bar Highland Brass Company in his hometown of Waterbury, Connecticut. He was also the co-founder and president of the United States Bartenders Guild, the Connecticut and New Haven chapter. Demetrios has done it all, and we covered it all, from his humble beginnings growing up in Waterbury, Connecticut, his roots back in Greece, the new canned cocktail company, his view on the bartending scene and industry today, and so much more. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, here he is, part number one of my two-part conversation with my friend, a badass bartender, and an awesome human being, the cocktail chemist, Demetrios Zaharaitis. Joining me on the podcast today, live inside the wonderful suite at Marigold's on Main, 19 Main Street, here in Newtown, Connecticut. For a second time, we are here in this beautiful space, and we love Marigold's for it. Shout out to them. And sitting across from me in this wonderful little couch right here is my new friend, an award-winning bartender, an incredible human being, a really chill guy, the cocktail chemist, the great and powerful Demetrios. What's going on, buddy?
What's up, man? Thank you for having
me. How are you?
Good,
and forgive me, how do you say your last name? Because I didn't want to
Don't worry,
it up.
It gets butchered on a daily basis. It's Zaharaitis.
Zaharaitis.
Yeah. So, like perfect. There you go.
Zaharaitis.
You're Greek.
Demetrios Zaharaitis.
Yes, sir.
Awesome.
My friends call me Dim, so
I'm an honorary Greek now.
Yeah, you are.
Awesome, Dim. That works.
Yeah,
that
absolutely
works. Awesome. Well, listen, Dim. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate this. Been following you for a little while now, mm-hmm. and big fan of what you're doing.
Thank you.
And
I've been following you too. So
thank you.
Reciprocated, brother.
Thank you. And I'm so glad that you could come down from Thomaston and join me my hometown of Newtown, Connecticut, at a wonderful space here at Marigold's.
It's beautiful downstairs.
Just downstairs.
Beautiful.
Hanging out with Kyle Mastro.
Absolutely.
The bartender. And it's a great space. They've been open for almost a year. And the fact that they let me do this here, I'm so appreciative. So big shout out to them. And please come by Marigold's on Main, check it out. Good old days pizzeria and cocktail den is in the basement. And we're in a suite that's used for, it's a bridal suite. So if you're getting married, having a wedding, there's no better place than 19 Main Street in Newtown. And with that being said, Dimitri, like I said, thank you so much. It's such an honor. And one place I like to start with my guests, considering the hecticness, the craziness of last year, is how did you get by? How did you manage to get through COVID on a personal front, a business front? You know, what were you doing and how did you cope with such a terrible situation?
I was working the night that we got shut down. And We're like, all right, fuck, shit's got real. So, you know, we had to kick everybody out. 8 o'clock, it was, you know, that Monday night.
Damn.
And, you know, the first couple of days was kind of cool. You're like, all right, we're on vacation. You know, what were they saying? 2 weeks to get the curve done, whatever the heck it is.
Yeah.
We're like, yeah, okay, sure. So, but it was, you know, like, it was all of a sudden, like everybody else. You know, we're all in the same boat. Shut it down. And, you know, like I said, the first, you know, it was just family time. I was home with my wife and my daughter. It was great. But, you know, like every one of their family, you want to kind of murder them after a week a little bit sometimes. But, you know, we made the best of it.
Nice.
We did make the best of it. The restaurant shut down, but we were doing takeout. So I went from, you know, beverage director to every once in a while delivering pizzas in Cheshire at Byron Rondo. And then, you know, just to keep my little sanity and just being in the position where I'm at, where, you know, I've been, you know, trying to lead in Connecticut in the bar industry and stuff for the last almost two decades now. I felt like I had to do something just to help my fellow bartenders and just to keep morale up more. I did it more like I just to have a good time, like to look forward to something. One day a week, I did a bar trivia on Monday nights and, you know, just to have fun, just to not think about the bullshit that's happening, you know, in the world and all that stuff. And
awesome.
I said, you know what? Let me try to get some money in the pockets of bartenders. And it's hard to do that, to get actual physical money, because brands are like, okay, what's this? I was like, all right, you know what? Forget the physical money. Could you just, I'm going to hook up, like, you know, I'm going to do my show, my little bar trivia thing. It's all bar related in some way or another.
That's so cool, like Jeopardy or something.
Yeah,
or like—
I mean, listen, I reached out to a bunch of suppliers, a bunch of my contacts and my network. Cool. Said, hey, could you donate gift cards just so people get like a dinner? You know what I mean? Like, and to support A, the person that's winning, and B, you know, the restaurant that they're gonna go to, and C, it keeps the brands relevant in a time where, you know, we're not behind the bar. So, you know, it was that. So we just, you know, I had reached out and I had such great feedback. I had brands reaching out to me saying, hey, I'll give you whatever you want. I'm in for every week you do this. I said, okay, cool. I had no idea what's going to happen, you know? So each question, you know, pertained to the brand and stuff. So I'd be like, guys, I'm running out of questions. I'm running out of ideas. Just give me, you know, from the brand people, give me some questions and all that. And, you know, long story short, it went from the second week that we were closed down up until we were able to open bars again and, like, you know, serve people outdoor dining and stuff like that. So probably like 3 months, I think the total came out to just under 10 grand.
Damn.
That we collected and, you know, put in the hands of bartenders and cocktail enthusiasts too. I mean, everybody was out of work. You know what I mean? So,
sure, yeah.
So it was great. I didn't even know, until I did a tally, I'm like, wow, that's a lot of money. And it was a lot of fun. Like, I'd have my kid come down and, you know, she was five then. And, you know, she'd come down in like her like Elsa or Anna dress. And it was like Ava's time.
That's,
you know,
awesome.
She had to ask a question and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, we did that. And then, you know.
That's great.
And then my brand actually launched during that time too, the Cocktail Chemist, the cans. We launched in July of 2020. So I was busy. I kept busy. I did a bunch of yard work. I'm not handy whatsoever, but
yeah, same.
I tore down and put up a swing set for my daughter, like this big wooden thing.
Nice.
And I built a fire pit in my backyard.
Nice. Yeah, fire pits were definitely popular during the
huge. It was great
during the pandemic,
digging and stuff. And my wife really didn't trust me. She doesn't trust me with anything handy, and rightfully so. I suck at it, but it came out good and it still works. So we're good.
That's awesome. Yeah, there's nothing like building a really awesome fire pit and being able to enjoy it and seeing
it's awesome.
your work, your labor.
Fruits of your labor.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah, similar to making cocktails, yeah, same thing.
Of course,
you know, seeing
exactly.
the joy
yeah,
on
yeah.
people's face. I mean, come on.
Of course.
That's awesome, man. Turning the bad situation
yeah.
of COVID into the best positive that you could.
Yeah, you know, there was a lot of people doing a lot of fun stuff because, like
yeah.
I said, we're just that kind of community where we take initiative and we try to help, you know, our fellow bartenders, our fellow human being, and, you know, and there was a lot of people doing a lot of cool stuff just to keep even just doing a stupid little, like half hours. Like my ex-business partner and a good friend of mine, they were just doing like a little show from their basement the whole time. Just, and it was fun because we're like going back and forth with each other and stuff like that. So, I mean, we you know, just to keep yourself occupied somehow. So you don't go too crazy.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Yeah. No, that's great. And you know, that's exactly why I like to ask my guests what they did, how they got by, what were some of the things they did, because everyone has a different story, mm-hmm. a different angle, perspective that they attacked the situation from, and it's cool, and I just hope that people listening maybe get inspired so that, God forbid, we're ever in a similar situation.
God,
yeah, me too, especially with this new variant they're talking about, but being able to just, you know, adapt and do creative things for themselves and,
sure.
and maybe get a perspective of what other people were doing. You
of
know,
course.
It wasn't all doom and gloom. You know, people get the angle, oh, it's all doom and gloom, but there's a lot of great people that were doing great things, such as yourself. So I appreciate you for sharing that.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
It was great.
And speaking of trivia, I'm a big Mets fan, and the Seven Line Army is our, you know, it's our big fan base, our big, you know, we travel everywhere and stuff like that. And they also did like a Mets trivia. That was really cool. And
nice.
So like, I get you on that,
yeah,
like, you know, something to do to keep people engaged and interactive and raise money and all that good stuff. Bring me back to your early days, your childhood, everything like that. You know, where are you from?
Mm-hmm.
What were you, you know, what was childhood like for you growing up and sort of, how did it evolve to where you are now doing these wonderful things, you know, the cocktail chemist and just award-winning bartender and all that stuff?
So my family fits the old stereotype of all Greeks own restaurants. I come from a line of, I'm third generation restaurant bar owner.
We had George Serafagas from the Holiday Diner in Danbury.
Oh, sure.
And
sure.
It's so funny.
See,
he said this.
All similar stories.
They all
over.
Yeah.
You'll see one or two stragglers go out and become lawyers or like doctors, but we don't really talk to them. They're weird. I grew up in a pizza place in Bunker Hill in Waterbury. I grew up born and raised in Waterbury, Connecticut. My grandparents came to this country in the early 60s from Greece.
Very cool.
Like a lot of Greeks came at that time, you know what I mean? And my father's an only child. He was here, and they just went right into the pizza business, right into the restaurant business. They owned a bunch of different places. They had something in, like, I think in Thomaston as well at one point, in Naugatuck, and then ended up, when I was born, we were at Bunker Hill Pizza in Waterbury, which is now still there. It's called Rocky's Pizza.
Oh, okay.
Right at the corner of Grandview and Bunker Hill Avenue.
Sure.
I grew up in the apartment upstairs. There was eight of us in a one-bedroom apartment.
Oh, wow.
Me, my three siblings, my parents, and my grandparents.
Gotcha.
I tell that story to my daughter all the time just to keep her kind of grounded, and she just laughs at me. And
that's smart.
She's like, sure, Dad. I'm like, I swear to God.
Smart.
But yeah, so, you know, the pizza place, and then, you know, my dad worked at Spartans in Waterbury for many years. You know, the owners there, they're like we're all like family, you know what I mean?
Awesome.
Then they opened, my father and them opened Spartans 2 in Southington. So pretty much my father had a restaurant in Greece right before that. So
that's 12, awesome.
12 years old, I was in Greece making pizzas on the island in the summertime. And then came back, we opened the restaurant when I was 14. The day I got my license, I was there every day, 7 days a week.
Wow.
Yeah, and then I was in the kitchen. I was working in the kitchen at 16 years old. And then I moved to Greece for college for a couple years.
Oh, nice.
I came back and I was working one Sunday night in the kitchen. I was 19. Bartender didn't show up. Mom's like, take off the apron and get behind the bar. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Like,
you were almost a chef.
Yeah. I like to chef it up. I'm not good, but I like to chef it up.
Oh, cool. Very cool.
But yeah, so I got behind the bar. I'm like, and it's funny because like I knew like what a, you know, a Madras was, you know what I mean? Because we were drinking those like then, Madras screwdrivers, vodka cranberries, whatever, Jack and Cokes. You can't really fuck that up. But I'm like, what if somebody orders like, you know, a Long Island iced tea or something crazy? So the one of the first, and I'll never forget it, Paulie was his name. I actually saw him at Viren's like last year. I go, Paulie, what if they asked me for something crazy? He goes, just ask him what color it is and make it that color. That was the first bit of advice that I got as a bartender. I was like, all right, fuck it.
That's amazing.
That's what we're doing. But back then it was 1996, I think it was, 97 around there when I started bartending. So, I mean, there was no craft in Connecticut. You know what I mean? It was just starting in other big markets in you know, New York and stuff like that. So I fell in love because, you know, every night I had that wad of cash in my pocket. And that's what we did. I love going to work. I boom, making money, hanging out, seeing people. I'm 19 years old. I can't even drink. And I'm bartending. This is great. You know? And then it just evolved. Like, you know, my parents sold the restaurant. They moved to Greece. I stayed. And I ended up going back to Spartans in Waterbury and bartending there. My cousin opened up Vossi's in Waterbury at the time. That was early 2000s.
Yes.
I think it was like 2003, I believe.
Great spot.
And that was like, you know, the martini craze just started there. And that's where I started like, oh, I like these flavors. I like this. I like that. Using fresh juice. We were ahead of our time in Waterbury at that time. You know what I mean? And people are like, you know, we were making 250 espresso martinis a night then. And people now are saying, oh, the resurgence, dude. It never left around here.
You know what's so funny? What I mean?
Like, there's that no resurgence.
That was one of my questions for you.
What, the espresso martini?
What's behind this resurgence?
Because
there's none. Okay.
well, for that cocktail, I'm not going to say anything else. Like, but we're still. I did bartending wrong for a long time. I was shaking my Manhattans. I was doing all that crazy stuff. I was muddling my old fashions. But then I ended up, you know, starting to get into it. And I'm like, oh, I like this. And then I started like competing a little bit in New York, still not knowing what the fuck I was doing, but doing well, I guess. And then I ended up moving to New York, and I ended up working at Tao in Midtown.
Yeah.
I was there for just about 3 years. One of my cocktails is still on the menu, almost what? It's the one out in 2006, 2007, so like 14 years later. It's if you go to Mohegan Sun Tao and you get the Ruby Red Dragon, that's my cocktail. So yo, it's still on the menu to this day.
That's awesome.
I know. I wish I had a penny of every one of those sold. That'd be great.
Imagine.
Yeah, imagine that shit. But it was a great learning
experience. We wouldn't be talking right now.
You know, that was a great, I mean, you know, waiting on, you know, sports stars.
So there's multiple. So there's multiple of those.
Tao's, yeah. I mean, when I was there.
It's a restaurant group?
It's a restaurant group, okay, yeah. Okay, they're a big group. They just acquired another big group in the world, Hakkasan. So anytime you see like Tao, Hakkasan, Lavo, Marquee Nightclub, that's
heard
all
of
Lavo. Them. Yeah. Mm. So that's all of them. So they opened another. At the time when I was there, it was Tao in Midtown, or just Tao then, just Tao. And Las Vegas just opened up. Now they're all over. I think like L.A., there's two in New York City. There's one at the casino here. You
so
know
that must
I mean?
Have been cool.
Chicago.
Being
yeah, it was awesome.
Being
it was,
a bartender in New York City.
Oh, dude, it was great. It was awesome. But then I ended up coming back home, trying to bring my skills back to the back to Waterbury and stuff like that. And it bounced around until 2015 when I opened my own bar in Waterbury. We opened up Highland Brass Company. It was the first craft cocktail bar
in
Waterbury, one of the first in Connecticut that really focused on craft cocktails. And that was a lot of fun. And actually, the Cocktail Chemist was born actually at Tao in New York City.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, one of my buddies, Brandon Kaiser, if he hears this, I'm shouting him. I already promised him, if the Cocktail Chemist makes it huge, then I'm giving him $1 million.
Sounds good.
I promised him, because he's the one, we're like sitting in a like the side station, where he's like, you need like a tagline, you need like a name. I said, I don't know, dude. I'm like, I'm not creative with naming things. He's like, you should call yourself the Cocktail Chemist. I'm like, all right, fuck it. Let's do it.
It's a pretty great name.
So it stuck. It stuck from then, and it evolved. It was just like a name then, and like I was competing and doing competitions, winning some here and there. And then I started doing a little consulting. I started doing a little bit, you know, dabbling in different things. And, you know, because like I said, when I first started bartending, it was like you're just bartending. There wasn't many avenues you could take, like to go be a brand ambassador
or to
consult. Now, like,
opportunities
you could go
are
everywhere,
endless.
You
yeah.
know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
you know, bartending, there's so many different avenues you could take. And
it's huge. Bartenders are rock stars, in my opinion, at
I
least.
Mean, yeah, listen, it's and we could all, you know, we thank Dale DeGraw for that. He was the guy that pretty much single-handedly brought back the resurgence of the craft cocktail in the late 80s in New York City at the Rainbow Room. And he's a fantastic guy, and he lives in Connecticut now, so that's awesome.
Oh, he does. Awesome.
Yeah, he's. Very I actually cool. had him on my trivia show. Like, he's this guy. It's like a little girl meeting like Britney Spears. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, when I first met him, I was like, oh my God, like, dude, like, this is crazy. And he's such a nice guy, and he's
genuine.
Genuine. His wife, Jill, is amazing. Super nice guy. And when I reached out to him, because we did a couple events together over the years and stuff like that, this guy's met tens of thousands of people, dude. It's crazy. He's all over the world. And I said, you know, I reached out to him. I said, hey, Dale, would you mind coming on and just doing a cheers and just leading us in a toast to the bartending community?
So, I'll do it all.
He's like, no problem. Whenever you want. Yeah. So I had him on the show. It was great. But yeah, he's the guy that we have to thank always. because he's the one that brought it back, you know, by using fresh juices and stuff. We were hacks back then, like sour mix all over the place. And you know what? There's still bars doing that, and that's okay. Like, there's a place and time for those things. And it's fine. It's not like I don't expect to go to a dive bar and just, and you know, and get, you know, a 50-50 martini. Like, you got to know where you're going to sometimes. Like, people get mad. Oh, they don't have, they have their vermouth out. I'm like, why would you go there and get a martini anyway? You go there for a beer and a shot. You know what I mean? You want a fucking cocktail, you come to Marigold's. You know what I mean? You got, that's this, you come to a place like that. So, yeah, sorry, I got off track. So, yeah, the cocktail chemist evolved into the canned cocktails because I wanted to do it about 4 years ago, 2016, 17, around there. I just didn't have the money. You know, I still don't have the money, but I figured it out. And there was not many canned cocktails on the market then. And then we finally figured it out, and I launched last July.
Yeah, let's get into that.
Yeah.
The Cocktail Chemist.
Yeah.
Canned cocktails, which are hot.
Yeah.
Very
huge. I mean, everybody's doing them.
They're
now.
Like seltzers. It's like, yeah. it's like seltzer.
And it's a good thing. It's a good thing.
That
there's a market for it.
It's a great thing.
It's a category now, which is great because people could find their favorites. There's good, there's bad, there's ugly. You know what I mean? Like everything else, like in beer, like in wine and spirits, whatever. Now it's grown huge.
It's cool to see. It's cool to see some of your favorite cocktails in a can that are legit. You know, it's not it's not like this malt flavor. You know what I mean? Like legit spirits in a cocktail. And I remember, like I was saying to you downstairs, On the Rocks was like the first one I remember seeing.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, whoa.
Yeah.
You can just, you know, buy it pre-made and just bring it home and put it over ice. Very cool.
Yeah.
And so it's just awesome. And the Cocktail Chemist, the name, as you were saying.
And I didn't even want to use the name.
So awesome.
I didn't even want to use the name. My wife's like, dude, you need to use the name. It's a recognized name. It's not a huge name, but it's still recognized. I thought it was just being like, you know, I don't want to do it. Like, I don't want to feel like I'm full of myself or something. She's like, no, you've built your brand this whole time. Why don't you capitalize on that? And just called it. I said, all right, screw it. So I called it the Cocktail Chemist.
And how hard is it to get something like that started?
It's not easy. I mean, you need money, obviously. I'm always looking for money for that. So if anyone's listening that has a lot of money and wants to invest or partner up, reach out to me.
100%.
But, I mean, there's a process to it. You know what I mean? You got to find, first of all, somebody to make it for you. Or you could just get your own distillery here in Connecticut and do it yourself. But that takes a long time, 18 months at least for the permit, blah, 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 this and that.
Wow.
So it's better to find, you know, that was my whole, you know, business plan was to eventually make it myself, but I wanted to get my brand off the ground, knowing that I won't make as much money, you know, contracting someone else, but whatever. I wanted the brand out there. And then when the time comes for me to have my own, you know, facility, cool, we're ready to go. So, you know, it's a process. You got to get your, recipe approved. Everything's through the federal government.
Oh.
So you got to get your recipe approved by the federal government.
I didn't even know that.
And I'll tell you even a little story.
Sure.
Where they kind of, I'm not going to say they fucked me because they didn't. So my espresso martini. So one of my expressions is an espresso martini. So we named it espresso martini. So now you have to get, you know, the recipe got approved. Cool. Everything's great. And then you have to get your labels approved. So they have to approve everything. There's a couple things you need on your labels, 100%. And then everything else is filler or whatever, you know, your design, your cocktail name, this and that. So I put espresso martini, got approved. Cool. The federal government approves it. And then the state of Connecticut has to approve it because, you know, they got to get their $200 per label. So they approved it, of course. Boom, we're making it. So we make it. I make it at one distillery. And then things, you know, didn't work out as planned. And then I had to go to another distillery. Not a problem. They're like, instead of transferring everything, we'll just redo the paperwork. It's quicker that way. Cool. Recipe goes through. Not a problem. Label goes through. The same label I used at the other distillery. Same label. And they're like, nope. I'm like, what? And it came back because it says a martini by the TDB, the governing body for the martinis classified as gin or vodka with vermouth. My espresso martini doesn't have vermouth in it, obviously. So I had to change the name from espresso martini. They're like, it's already been approved. They're like, yeah, somebody messed up somewhere. I'm like, okay. So now it's called espresso tini and not espresso martini. Same everything. Everything else is the same. It's great.
Unbelievable.
So whatever. I mean, like, you know, you adapt. Espresso tini is kind of cool too. But yeah, like I had the original story on the back from when Dick Bradsdale invented the espresso martini. It was at a request of a customer. I think this is in London in a hotel bar. And a woman asked them to make her a cocktail that would wake her up and fuck her up. So I had that, you know, but minus the swear words. And they're like, yeah, you can't put that under. It's suggestive of some way. I'm like, all right, I tried.
That's but, cool. That's yeah, cool. Yeah. I've never heard that before.
But
that's
now, awesome. Instead of putting the story on the back, I just have a QR code. You hit the QR code, it goes right to my website, and you can read the story right there. So,
aren't QR codes great?
I love them.
We have them on all our merch that we sell for the podcast.
Awesome.
And people can literally, it's on the back of the t-shirt.
That's great.
And people can literally just, boom.
Just snap it. You're walking down the street.
Right to our Linktree account.
Yeah.
And they can find everywhere they listen to the show.
I love it.
Isn't it great?
That's how they did the COVID stuff in Greece.
Yeah.
When I was in Greece a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Your COVID results, like we have vaccination cards.
Sure.
They looked at me like I was crazy. They're like, what is this? I'm like, it's a vaccination card.
They have QR codes.
Where?
And they have QR codes.
Dude, on their phone. You just go. You have your QR code on your code, on your phone. The person checking you just goes boop and you're in.
What is wrong with the United States?
And the guy, I had to literally dissect my vaccination card and explain it to them. I was like, this is CDC. This is the governing body of the United States that is handling the COVID everything. Here's my first dose. Here's my second dose. And, you know, once I explained it, it was fine.
Sure.
They weren't being dicks about it.
Sure,
you know
sure,
what I mean?
Sure. I'm sure they've seen it a bunch. Probably.
And but the guy that I was with, he's like, why is the U.S. so backwards? I'm like, oh.
Isn't that great when you got folks from other countries
exactly,
like,
making fun of us?
What is wrong with you
guys?
I'm
like, I don't know, buddy. Here. Could you let me into the bar now?
What is wrong with you guys over there? Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. But yeah, man, cocktail chemist.
Yeah.
And it started out of Highland Brasco, right?
Well, yeah, well, one of the cocktails did. The Something Good.
Something Good.
Yes.
And then
you like the Something Good.
Yes,
I do. Or your girlfriend does.
We both do.
You do.
Okay, I mean, okay. I like them all.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you will always satisfy
sure,
my palate.
Thank you. Well, thank you.
But are you no longer with Highland Brass?
I'm no longer with Highland Brass.
Gotcha,
no, we
gotcha.
Sold it in 2019, like about 4 months before the pandemic hit. But there's, you know, my buddy of mine bought into a very good friend of mine, so they're doing well over there. They're continuing.
It's so awesome. It's
doing,
so homey.
Doing what we did. Yeah, it's a neighborhood bar.
And my friends that love the show and, mm-hmm. and live here in Newtown, I got tagged in a post about how they're gonna have that Christmas.
Oh, the miracle pop up, yeah.
Yeah, and they're just like, we gotta go up there. And
yeah,
I'm like, oh my, you know, that was my buddy's place.
It's,
you know?
It's like Santa Claus threw up all over the place. It's great. It's great. It's so much fun. Like that thing started off small too. Now it's worldwide.
Yeah.
I don't even know how many. We were one of the first ones. Like I worked.
I've heard about that.
There was one in Connecticut. There was like three to start about like 6-7 years ago. And one of them was in Connecticut. And then there was one in New York, and I think one in D.C. Maybe I'm lying about that. But there was definitely one in New York that's where it started, one in Connecticut, because the kid that did in Connecticut knew the guys in New York. So it started off like that, just like, oh, you should do a Christmas bar. So now it's like a whole, it's a huge business. They have people just working on this. Well, a good friend of mine, Joanne, she heads the whole thing globally. Like, and it's all over the world. And now there's two in Connecticut.
And Highland Brass did it in 2018, right?
Yeah, we did it.
You were a part of it 1 year, right?
Well, I was part of it 3 years.
Oh,
we
3 years.
In 16, 17, 18.
What are some of the cocktails? Like green or something like that, you know?
Yeah, there was one called Yippie Kaye, motherfucker. That was fun.
Oh, that's very
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, they have like, there's like the Crispapolitan that stays on. It's like a spiced cranberry, like Cosmo kind of thing. But there's stuff with marshmallows and shit. Like, they give you everything. I mean, you have to pay the franchise fee, whatever.
Sure.
But they give you all the recipes, everything, like merch. You know, you can buy merch and stuff like that. And you have to be up to brand, you know what I mean, as far as how decorated you are. And they also have a spinoff. It's called, it's a tiki bar. So it's Sippin' Santa's tiki bar kind of thing. So you could do, like, a cool Christmas tiki bar as well. So I know it's Highland Brass still doing it. And Riley's by the Sea, I believe, is doing it this year as well.
And everyone knows that Die Hard is a Christmas movie. I mean, come on.
Obviously. Obviously. It
the
is.
Memes are coming out already. It's great. It's great. You know it's Christmas season when you start seeing people
when you
post.
See haters.
You see the haters, too. Exactly.
Oh, man. Yeah. It's 100% a Christmas movie. I'll fight about it.
I love how you're like, it's like if Santa just threw up everywhere.
Legit.
That's
it was
awesome.
Great. Like, when you think you have enough, you don't. The first year, they actually sent somebody up to help us out a little bit, and we just kept adding stuff. Like, every week, we're like, we need more lights. or we need a Santa outside.
You get sucked into the spirit.
Oh, and then I would do like weekly Santa sightings. So I bought myself a Santa suit, and then my business partner Corey and my brother George, they'd be like elves behind a bar. It was hilarious.
That's amazing.
And like I said, we need to do more. We need reindeers on the roof of the building. Like it just became like lights outside. Oh man, it was so much fun.
How do you come up with the recipes for the cocktails that you do? Is it hard? Is it just a lot of R&D?
And for the cans or just in general?
For the cans.
Okay.
And for cocktail chemists and sort of, you know, who does your labels and you know, how's mm-hmm. it been? How's everything been? Because, you know, like you said, you're new.
Yeah, I mean.
And it's super cool, the fact that you got it going during COVID and everything like that.
Yeah, that was fun.
It's awesome, yeah.
The cocktails, I always knew I wanted to do the cocktails I wanted to do. I always wanted to do an espresso martini in a can because nobody had one out at the time. And there's still not many of them out there, you know?
I have never seen one
one. Kahlua doesn't do it anymore. But, and not to talk shit about Kahlua because I use it in my espresso
martini. It's not as legit as your local guy.
No. And it was only 5% alcohol. All my stuff is 10%. You know what I mean? Like,
I noticed that.
Throwing some booze in there.
All
for
your
you.
Stuff yeah. is 10%.
Absolutely.
Legit.
So, like, mojito, I've always loved mojitos. I've always loved Cuba. My wife and I got married in Cuba.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was dope. So, I wanted to do a dope mojito. And, you know, I use three different Caribbean rums in it. So, I made a nice rum blend out of that. Oh, definitely don't. Always wanted to use fresh, you know, fresh ingredients like cane sugar, not. No, like high fructose, anything. If I'm going to give you sugar, I'm going to give you sugar. Like, I'm not going to, you know, I'll give you the best kind of sugar that you want to put in your body. Fresh citrus. My spearmint is of high quality. So that's, you know, that one there. And then the something good, it was just
joke,
a drink.
Right?
It was a joke drink. Yeah. I mean, you know, buddies, because when I opened the bar, like, you know, I've been a bartender around town for, you know, 15 plus years at the time, almost 20 years. And, you know, people would come in and they knew that I knew how to make cocktails and stuff. And I was behind a bar at the beginning more. And they're like, oh, just make me something good. Make me something good. I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. The last thing a bartender wants to hear when they're like 3-4 deep is make me something good with no reference as to what that something good can be or should be or whatever. Like, hey, make me a bourbon drink that's good or whatever. Like, nothing. So I'm like, all right, these fuckers, I'll get them. So they were all big, burly guys, you know, big dudes. So I'm like, I'm going to make up a floral vodka lemonade. So just like vodka, lemon, simple, little bit of violet, little bit of elderflower.
Amazing.
I garnish it all nice. And it backfired in the best way possible, of course. They were like, dude, this is great. I'm like, shit, here we go. And they would just order them like 5 at a clip. And it got,
joke's
it just,
on you, Dim.
Yeah, joke was on me. It was. So I'm like, you know what? I told my business partner, Corey, I was like, we're putting this on draft. So we had an old fashioned on draft, and we had the something good on draft. So anytime now, people don't even know about the something good. They'll come in a bar, and they're like, I don't know. Just make me something good. So the bartender will turn around, boop, give them this drink. They're like, what's this? They're like, something good. That's what you asked for.
That's our drink.
That's our drink. Something good. And they're like, they look a little confused.
Blows their mind.
They're like confused. Like, but I didn't tell you what to make. We're like, yeah, you know, you order the something good.
We've had people like you before.
Yes. So that's where it was born. I was like, I always knew I wanted to put that in a can as well. The vodka soda splash of cranberry. That's just
classic.
Just basic like me. Like, I don't really drink cocktails, to be honest with you. I mean, I came to Barrigal's and my first time I'm going to try a cocktail. And I'm trying this great. It's a great riff on a Papa Doble and on a Hemingway Daiquiri with the plantation pineapple. But usually I'm like drinking like vodka sodas or like beer, wine. I'm very, very simple in my ways.
Very cool.
Yes. So yeah, that's why I wanted to.
Simple is
vodka
good,
soda,
man.
Splash of cran.
Simple.
And
is
put the
good.
Little lime essence in there too, so you have to do anything.
Amazing.
Yeah.
No, simple's great. Yeah. Simple's really great. And I love following your Instagram. The videos you do are super cool. I love the spiced pear mojito you did recently.
Oh, thank you. Thank
and I know why you do this, and I know why you said this, and I'm sure most people will understand why you do this. But for those that maybe don't know, I love the part where you slap the mint, and you're like, always slap your mint.
Always slap your
and
mint.
And I love that,
always.
But why is that?
It's just to release the oils.
That's yeah.
So that's it's an aromatic, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
When you're putting the garnish in there, I feel garnishes have to serve some kind of purpose. You know what I mean? So when you're putting, you know, you want the mint, it's mint. I love mint. You know what I mean? So when you smack that mint, it just releases all those oils.
I just love it.
You put that bouquet in the drink, and And then I hate when people put straws in drinks because then you can't get your face in that mint. You know what I mean? Like somebody, your nose should be in that mint. So when you're drinking, because you're drinking with all your senses. You know
not
what
a
mean?
Straw guy
if
myself.
You, if you can't, you don't like straws or you do?
In my drink? No.
So, I mean, so I took the straws off the bar. I took big throw straws out. The little sippy straws because I see people like putting sippy straws in an old fashioned. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
Stop that. I don't like that.
You know what I mean? Drink. You know, you want to smell it. You want to get in there. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
So
exactly.
So that's why I want, you know, you're drinking. Like if you plug your nose and drink, you're not going to taste shit. You know what I'm saying? Like you're not going to taste anything.
Right.
And you want that drink to have that nice mint bouquet in there. So yeah, we do some videos like that. My buddy Stelios and I, Stelios owns Cylinder Vodka. He's another Connecticut guy. Great dude. One of my good friends, became good friends. So he's the one behind all those videos because I'm too dumb to do that shit.
The videos are great.
He's great at it. Isn't he good? He's awesome.
His side, the production,
yeah,
fantastic. But you were made.
Oh, thank you.
To be on video.
I think what he does is way more impressive than what I do, to be honest. Because he'll sit there, like we'll record, and then he'll sit at the bar, have a little, in a matter of 5 minutes, it's edited. I'm like, dude, you're like a freak of nature. This is great.
That's pretty great.
So I'm like, you're like, the whole package is great.
Reminds me of my guys here on the podcast. that? That's awesome. And, yeah. But no, dude, you're made for video. You're made for that.
Thank you.
I mean,
I
could easily see you on like anything, Taste Made, Food Now, sure, making cocktails. I mean, I could totally see that.
Hopefully someone's listening right now.
Yeah, you have the personality and everything. And watching you make cocktails is just it's a joy for me.
Thank you. And I hear that from people too, and I'm like, I'm just doing what I do. Like, nothing. It's
this is what I love.
I'm not curing cancer or anything. I'm not fucking. You know. I'm no rocket scientist. Like, it's just what I do.
This is what I do, and I do it damn well.
It's like finesseful and art. I was like, oh, okay, cool.
It's poetry.
Like, thank you. Thanks.
It's art.
I just made a drink. That's all I did.
It's art, man. Bartenders are artists.
I made a cocktail. That's all I did.
You know what I mean? Because it's creativity. It's
and there's a lot of good ones in the state. I'm very proud of that. I'm very happy about that.
Yeah, you know, and speaking of that, I'm glad you brought that up because you're the second bartender. We've had on the show. The first one we had was about a year ago today. Mm. I had on a local legend here in Newtown, Gary Five Boys. His real name is Gary Crone. But he has five boys, so it's like a joke. That's like his nickname.
He has five boys, like five kids?
Five boys, five kids.
God bless him.
And he doesn't live too far from here at all, nice. Maybe like a mile, half a mile. And nicest guy, he's the bartender at a speakeasy in Sandy Hook, Connecticut, that just popped open, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 months ago, called Antoinette's. And
I heard it. Okay.
It's absolutely amazing. And Gary was the bar manager at Tribeca Grill for like 2 decades.
Wow.
In New York City, and him and I are great friends.
That's awesome.
And always go to him for a Manhattan or anything for that matter. So it's cool having another bartender on that's just as awesome as Gary. So it's really, really cool. I mean, because what you guys do is it's great. It's nice to know that when you go somewhere, you know you're gonna get your drink's gonna be the best. Like you don't have to worry. Like you know, it's nice. It's like a chef. It's like it's nice to have that person where you go to this place. You know, it's gonna be.
You got somebody that cares.
Amazing. Yeah.
That cares.
Yeah.
They don't just give a shit. Like whatever they know, they throw in a plate or throw in a glass or whatever. Like there's a lot of care that went into that, and I feel that people appreciate that a lot more now. And like I've seen it, you know, coming from my background of 20. I've been 25 years behind a bar. 26, how it's evolved from then to now, even just, you know, spirit wise, there's so many more spirits, you know what I mean? Like behind the bar back then, we didn't have that much stuff. There was a couple, you know, vodkas, and then the whole vodka, the flavored vodka explosion came, like Stoli had like 7,000 flavors and stuff like that. I think I probably drank every single one of them. But now just to see that even like, you know, distillers, you see a lot more small, craftier distillery here in Connecticut. Got like Litchfield Distillery, you got, you know, Waypoint Spirits, you got this one, that one. Everything is evolving, and, you know, there's a lot of care, you know, instilled from the beginning, you know, from the making of the spirits all the way to the bartender handling these spirits, mixing them, and then ultimately into the consumer, you know, somebody like you that knows a good drink, you know what I mean? And you know what you like. You know what you want. I mean, I see it even in Greece. I go to Greece a lot often, and their bar scene is killer. It's amazing. And I just see it in my little cousins that, well, they're not little anymore. I mean, you know, these girls that, you know, were drinking Sex on the Beaches now, they're like, oh, I know a great place that makes awesome Negronis. I'm like, the fuck do you know about Negronis? Like, but hey, let's go, because I love Negronis.
Hey, let's go.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, we're going to go get some old fashions here or whatever. Like, the consumer is way more educated now. So you can't even, like, maybe a few years ago, you could sneak something by them and whatever. But now, like, people are smart, and they know what they like, and they know what they want. So you can't pull the wool over anybody's eyes for the most part.
Right, and I'm glad you brought up Litchfield Distillery, because I know that you did work with them.
I worked with them, yeah, for a couple years.
Back in 2017.
Yeah.
What was that like? Do you still work with them?
And, it was great. They make my espresso martini. I make it there.
Oh, there you go. I was wondering, what's the distillery where you make?
It's at Litchfield.
All the cocktails? Or?
No, just that one. Gotcha. The other three are made in Wisconsin. Another good friend of mine.
Oh, sweet.
He's the one that makes the Something Good, the vodka soda, and the mojito.
Awesome.
My buddy Tom Dufek, Plains Bowl Cocktails out in Madison.
Shout out to Tom.
Tom is my boy. He's awesome. He's great. He owns a brewery as well out there. They're doing like really big things. He's bartender background. But yeah, so with Litchfield, I mean, I was working at Community Table then, and I've known the bakers, Peter, for a long time, just, you know, in the Waterbury, you know, area, whatever, this and that. And
they're awesome.
They're great guys, all three brothers.
And they work with a friend of the show. They're partners with a friend of the show, Dave Ackert. They're partners in his maple syrup.
Maple Craft Foods. Maple Craft. They're great. Yep. Love their stuff.
Oh,
I used to see them at, because I was a brand ambassador for Litchfield. So I would see them at events all the time. They were great.
It's addicting.
I love it. It's addicting. I love it. I still have some at home.
Yeah, same.
And the maple bourbon that we make with that stuff is phenomenal.
Off the hook.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, those guys, I worked for them. It was a great couple years. I just didn't want to, you know, do the restaurant thing anymore, really. And, you know, with a young child and stuff, I try to be home more at nights and not be in a bar environment.
Yeah, consulting, vibing. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously that didn't last too long because I'm back at a restaurant business. but
we love you. We need to see your face. But, yeah.
You know, I'm splitting my time better. Time management's a little bit better.
Cool.
You know, it's I'm not in a bar 5-6 nights a week, put it that way. Plus, I can't do it. I'm not 20-something anymore. I'm 45 years old. Shit hurts. I have to put, like insoles in my Crocs the other day because my heels hurt so much. I'm like, damn, I can't, you know what I mean? But I love it. I do love it. And no matter how much, sometimes I hate it. And if you speak to any bartender, they're going to tell you that. Once in a while, it's tough dealing with the public, but overall, it's rewarding.
Thank you so much for listening to part number one of a two-part podcast episode with my buddy, Demetrios Zaharaitis, the cocktail chemist. Stay tuned next week for part number two and a continuation from where we left off. Yet again, another episode of Sweeten Up is in the books. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe anywhere you get your podcasts. We would greatly appreciate your feedback and support. As a reminder, you can play the podcast with the help of your smart speaker by simply saying, "Play the podcast Sweeten Up with Jeff Spencer." Thank you as always to my best friends, the guys who make it all possible, post-production and music Morgan Lutzi, production and art director Kurt Vinci, editor and writer Nick Passacretta, and a special thanks as always to Devin Cipelli. As I said at the top, we will see you next week with part number two of our conversation with the man, Demetrios Zaharaitis. But until then, you know the deal. Stay safe, stay healthy. Love you all. Peace.